This edition of the Swim Brief is sponsored by Pro Swim Workouts. Are you an athlete that's looking to see what other athletes are doing to get top results? Are you a coach that wants to broaden your horizons and learn from other coaches' workouts? Make an account at Pro Swim Workouts today and get access to workouts from around the world. Right now, for a limited time, enter the coupon code CRDESANTIS, like my last name, CRDESANTIS, for 20% off when purchasing a premium subscription. The Swim Brief is also brought to you by Chris DeSantis Coaching. Do you want to learn real, research-backed techniques for becoming more resilient? Go to ChrisDCoach.com, that's C-H-R-I-S, D as in downtown coach.com. There's more to swimming fast than just how you move in the pool. Find out how you can start improving your mental game today. Follow Chris DeSantis Coaching on Facebook, read the blog, watch the videos, and find more Swim Brief podcasts. This week, I called Nico Messer. In a new series where we have some real talk about swimming workouts, we tackled our first set, the legendary 100 times 100, and we have some really different thoughts about it. Enjoy. Nico, what's up, man?
Hey, Chris. Good to be back.
Yeah, great to talk to you again. Since last week, I've been spending all my time thinking about all the things I want to say about our set this week. But first, I'll ask you, what have you been up to since the last episode?
Well, I actually listened back to our own episode, which I guess everyone has that. Like, you hate hearing your own voice, right?
Yeah.
So I had a little bit of that, but I also like listened back and I had like a bunch of other stuff like coming up and a lot of notes taken that I'm like, ooh, we gotta make room for this. We gotta talk about this.
Yep.
Just from hearing us talk. So I hope everyone else was kind of like the same. We did have some good feedback, I think, so that's cool. And I think we have an exciting episode coming up.
Yeah. And I was out in Nebraska. I went to Fremont, Nebraska. So it's my third time going to Nebraska. I was out there for Olympic trials, of course, in 2008 and 2012. Both those times sort of stayed confined to Omaha. So as I wrote about on my blog, it was really good to sort of get outside a little bit from the Omaha bubble and really sort of like get into sort of more of the countryside of Nebraska. And it was a really great weekend to be able to meet some kids that are some of the best in their area. And you know, I've had the opportunity in my coaching career to be a lot of places around the United States and around the world. And I'm really struck by what is very similar across all those places. And one thing that I wrote a little bit about is, I think in coaching circles, and this sort of has to do with what we're going to talk about later, the sets and maybe any set we talk about. I think that, you know, you see a great diversity of training systems and training sets out there. And very often I hear some coaches say, well, you know, there's a lot of different ways to train swimmers. And I hear it from that end. But I'm also just struck by there are a lot of different ways in which swimmers can find to move forward. And that's what I think really, like when you go to a camp, when you go to a training camp, or you've been selected for this or that, and you have to go and interact with somebody who's maybe not your day-to-day coach, that's what I think is kind of the skill that sets you apart as a swimmer, is can you figure out, okay, here's a coach that's not my coach, and they're telling me some stuff that may be different from what my coach is saying, but is there something in there that I can use to get better? And I find the swimmers who can do that, and there were a lot of them at the thing I went to this past weekend, they're really set up for success.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. You know, it's something that I noticed. The first club team I coached coming back to Switzerland, there was a guy who had big improvements. And at the end of 3 years before I left, he finally started to have like goals that at least to me seemed like something that he should try to do. And he was really worried about me leaving. I'm like, well, you know, I'm not the one doing the work. You are.
Yeah.
And you're not good because you did what I told you. You're good because you did a good job doing the stuff that I told you to do. And you start to believe in the work you do. And you can do that with any coach.
Yep.
And I'm not saying I was a better coach than some of the coaches that came after me at that place that he had to work with. But he probably didn't have as good as a setup for a couple of times because it's always hard to transition, especially if you transition from one coach and that coach is only going to be there for a year and you have to transition to another coach the next season. And he did a really good job with that because he just kept improving the same way. And I was really proud of him doing that. And it's just like when I talked to him, it's like, well, you know, I was just doing what I was doing, not looking for anybody else, just focusing on my own.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's such an important lesson for swimmers to learn. So what are we going to talk about this week?
Yeah, so we're going to go after some of the big sets that everybody knows about, that some of us done, that you, as we heard last time, may not be a big fan of and haven't done, but our big set this week is going to be the 100-100s, which I have done. And I know a lot of other teams and a lot of coaches listening here probably have done too.
Yeah, tell me what your experience has been with 100-100s, and then I'll tell you what I have encountered.
Well, you know, the thing is, I don't think I do this type of set like with the real purpose behind it. So sometimes I like to do it on like special dates, like the one that we're going to look at or people can look at on ProSwim Workout, that was January 1st. We were in the training camp. It was kind of the training camp in a phase where we were. It's kind of like there was not a lot of intensity overall, but it was for us a way to get out of the short course pool into long course pool, get a little bit more yardage so they have a good base for when we're not going to have as much training space and training time. And they usually knew, we're only going to have one practice that day. It's going to be not a 2 hour, but probably more of a 3 hour workout. And it's going to be something really challenging. And I usually try to come up with some ideas or throw out some challenges that we may go about. And some of those, they're more excited about others. And that year I was talking about the 100-100s and like the girls on the team were like, on and on and on, please don't, that sucks, and it's really, we don't want to do it. And the boys were like, oh yeah, we heard those guys who were doing that set just like a month ago, we definitely want to do it and just show them that we can do better than those guys were. So that's kind of the way it came up. But what I really want to do it that day, if we take that particular 100-100, what I really wanted to do that day is go 10-100s all out. So it's kind of like that day all we did was 100-100s. Like the 100-100 was warm up, it was swim down, it was the set, but like the main set within those 100-100s were 10-100s all out. Like every 10 except on the last one, it was number 9, was 100 all out. And we didn't go you know, it was not like, okay, guys, you are really good 200 freestylers. You should be able to go 100-100s freestyle on 115 long course and just hold 106 pace, get 6-7 seconds rest, and just try to be steady and make it.
Okay.
Because I don't think that makes any sense for anyone to do, except maybe for a guy who swims, you know, like a 25K open water. So I came up like with 10 blocks of 10. At the end of every block, there was 100 all out. Some of it was kicking, some of it was drills. There was a lot of equipment, you know. At the end, we actually did a good block kicking because I kind of the technique starts to fall apart. It's kind of a long day for them, starting in the morning, 3-hour practice, something they're not used to it. So a lot of them probably going to swim really slopey strokes at by the end of those 100-100. So I didn't want to see it. So I'm like, well, we're just going to kick. So I don't have to look at strokes that I really don't want to look at. and stuff like that. And some of the guys, you know, I had a guy who was an Olympian in 2008 on the team who joined our team. And at that time was trying to make 2012. He was like, I don't think that's for me. You know, like he walked literally up like the night before, like, coach, I don't think that is for me. I'm like, well, just get to the pool, do the first 10. It's kind of warm up anyway. I'd like you to do something fast as well. So maybe do the first 100, fast, and then we'll see what we do. So, it's not like I was really, set on this and everyone had to go through, you know. I think one of the guys, he felt like really bad after 6 or something like that, so I just had him go a 500 easy and get out, you know? But he stayed on pool deck. He was kind of stretching out and cheering for everyone else.
All right. Yeah, I guess, you know, you already set up that I have a lot of reservations about doing a set like this. Even as I hear you describe it, I have, my mind is crafting, it's crafting questions. The thing is, I like to keep an open mind about this kind of stuff, because, you know, I have, of course, my own ideas about what a good swim practice looks like. And that doesn't include 100-100s. On the other hand, I'm always willing to be convinced by somebody. And that's one of the reasons why I often find myself asking online or, you know, in some other forum to just sort of for somebody to tell me, like, you know, what are you going for with this? Like, what's your purpose with doing this set or the other? And I'm always ready for an answer that's going to, you know, sort of, that's going to change my mind. I haven't heard it yet, but I'm still open to it. You know, even when I listen to that, I'm thinking like, okay, 10-100s, but what kind of, I mean, looking back, what kind of quality did you get on those 10-100s? Did you, even as I think about it, all out sounds kind of almost impossible. And I don't like to use the word impossible because I'm sure there is somebody who could do that really well out there. But it sounds to me like if most groups of swimmers that I coach, they wouldn't produce something that I would consider quality on those 10-100. So how did that end up for you?
Yeah, I mean, my main idea, right, for that particular like day or morning where we did the set was the 10-100s. I just kind of put them in a different context. And yeah. Overall, you know, I knew like everything around those hundreds fast may not be the best thing that I'm going to see because they know there are a lot of those hundreds. And 10-100s all out is not easy by itself.
No. In fact, it's so, harder by itself.
But overall, you know, not looking at the whole like 10K of that morning, but at the, like the 10-100s where I wanted quality, where I wanted them to like get up on the blocks if they wanted to, race someone if they wanted to, challenge someone. Those 10, I was really happy. Like for probably 80 to 90% of the people who were there, I was really happy with it. Special because also, you know, it's like it was like 10 days into a training camp at that time. And as I said, it was like most of what we did was low intensity, just trying to kind of get them going a little bit longer, easy swimming, technique focused stuff, build the base, how we called it, like with that team for the summer when we're going to have to race long course and all we're going to have is a short course pool, which I never felt was a disadvantage to us. Mm. I even thought it was probably the reason why we were faster than some other teams, you know. But like the 10 100s, I was really happy that day, and we could probably have left out a few of the other hundreds that we did, but that particular day it was part of the challenge, you know. And as I said, like the guys, they really wanted to finish the 100 100s.
Yeah, so when you say you're happy with the quality, because I just want to poke a little deeper on this. So when, and you say all out, like, well, let's say you give me an example of a swimmer and what their, you know, personal best in 100 was, sure, and then like what you got out of those 10 100s.
Well, you know, like it's probably a good idea to define what I mean by all out.
Sure. That too.
which all out, you know, at that day, it could have been from a dive. It doesn't have to. And all out means I'm mostly at that time looking for effort, not really for time. Obviously, they got time, you know, because they wanted to know how fast they could go, especially if they were challenging someone to a race. Mm. They needed to know who got faster, who got the better time. But all out means I don't want you to try to back half that 100. I want you to be at your best time at 50 if you can that day, even if you're not going to finish. Mm. And, you know, by not going to finish, I don't want you to go all out till 50 and no breath 50 and then do the turn, come off, not have any air left, read the first stroke off the turn, and then just kind of swim any way you can to touch the wall.
Right.
It's still kind of, I don't want you to hold you back, but you better slow down a little bit if you feel like you're not going to finish it, holding, yeah, a good technique. Because that's what's happened at that time with most of the guys in the team. They didn't know how to go out fast. Mm. And they didn't know how to hold it together at the end. So it's like two problems that we tried to work out there. It's all out. It's not kind of best average, because they would have to be at least maybe two or three in a row to call it best average, I guess. But I had a guy, a freestyler. He was a 200 freestyler. His best time at that time, back in 2012, was probably like a 54 high or 55 low, mm, long course 103. And he probably did on one or two, he probably went 55 high or 60. 56 lows.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it kind of got a lot at the end. There were some where I told them, well, we all have to go 100 backstroke. You don't get to choose what you want to do. We all go 100 backstroke, or we all go 100 breaststroke, just to keep it fun for them a little bit, you know, because a guy who's not a breaststroker, he's going to have a lot of fun racing 100 breaststroke against someone who's not a breaststroker at all as well.
Mm-hmm.
And there was 100 kick as well. But that's kind of like where those guys were at.
And what do you think, what do you think the value of doing sets like this is beyond, because I think we can have one argument around the physical stuff. And I think, you know, I find myself thinking like, oh, there's a much more efficient way to get what you want physically out of the practice. But one of the arguments that I hear a lot for this type of set is the mental or psychological impact of the set. So what do you think that is?
Yeah, so I think there are like a couple things for like the team I was working with at that time. One is like the mental part, because they knew ahead of time, hmm, that this is going to happen. So like we didn't like go into camp and they knew January 1st you're going to do 100 100. They knew something is going to happen January 1st, and maybe 2 or 3 days prior they knew it's going to be 100 100. So like they have to cope for a couple of sessions with that workout coming up.
Yeah.
They're trying to figure out what it could be, because if I tell them, well, it's only going to be one a day, it's going to be a 3-hour workout, it's going to be 100 100, they expect the work, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting how they handle that. You know, there's like different ways to do it. There's like guys that could just totally start to shut down like in the sessions ahead of time because they kind of want to be ready for that set. They're just guys that they don't even worry. They don't care. They just take every workout and they just keep going. It doesn't matter what you throw at them. That's one of the part. The other thing is kind of like, because we were in a training camp, you know, it's also kind of, it's, I think what happens with a lot of those sets, they really get together as a group or as a team. If some people start to want to give up or something like that, they're not going to let them. It's something where what I saw that day, at least, you know, it's not kind of like team grows with it. And I think that's an important part too. And as I said, you know, it's not like I don't do a set like this every day or every month. When I do it, it's usually something that they also want to do that somehow may or may not fit in what we're doing in that training phase at the moment. But I think it's better if you do something like that, if they really want to do it. If you do it and no one wants to do it, you're probably better off doing something. So,
yeah. Yeah, I think one of the things I talked about over the weekend in Nebraska that I think really applies here, and something I would caution people to consider whenever, like whatever kind of practice or set you're giving people, but particularly one that's extremely challenging, is make sure that your swimmers aren't learning helplessness. And because I talked with the kids in Nebraska about learned optimism, how you can learn optimism as a skill, as a way of reasoning the things that happen to you in a certain way to give yourself sort of a better outlook and a better mindset towards future events. But the whole theory of learned optimism is based on learned helplessness. And learned helplessness, the way that was discovered, is actually a really sad story. Some researchers back in the 1960s, and they were doing tests on dogs, and they had poor, cute little dogs, and they put electric shock collars on them, and they shocked them, and they had them standing on either side of a little fence. And some of the dogs, if they hopped over the fence, the shock stopped. So they were able to do something to alleviate the situation that they were in. And then some of the dogs, no matter what they did, they still got electric shocks. And they found that the result of this was that the dogs that no matter what they did, they continued to get shocks. Eventually, they just lay down in the ground because they figured, well, there's no use in trying anymore. And I this is all a long story to say that you better make sure if you're going to give a challenging set to your swimmers that they believe that however painful it might be, that they are the dog that can hop to the other side of the fence. And I mean that by they, you know, that not only is there a purpose, but you know, there's some that they're in control of their environment, that they can do the set, you know, that they don't in their mind look at it and go, well, that's like impossible for me to do as written. And that's what I'm thinking about too. I think it's good that you define all out because like in my mind, I have a completely different definition of all out. So then I'm listening to your set. And I'm thinking like, yeah, that's impossible because for me, all out is sort of like, yeah. Like the quality you got on the first one better be the same on number 10 or else it's not all out in my book.
And you know, I think you brought up a really important point that I already mentioned a little bit. Like the guy, like halfway into who was in trouble, you know, and he's like, I think I can do it anymore.
Yeah.
Like I was not there and like, oh, no, no, no. Today, everyone is doing 100-100. Shut up, get back in, and finish. You know, it's kind of right. Like, us being there had a greater purpose than doing those 100-100s. And he's like, well, coach, I don't think I'm going to be able to do good work for the second week if I have to go through this. Is there anything else I can do? And I'm like, well, I think you can get out and stretch it. Do some, you know, apps or whatever you have to do to take care of yourself so you're ready to go the next day. And you should, most probably, you should not leave pool deck, but you should stay here with your teammates and help with however you can so they can finish up their set.
Yeah.
You know, most people that day, they did it. Some were really happy they did it, some not as happy. And some didn't do it all the way. And all those, everything was fine with me, you know. I think everyone got what they needed that day. And you always have a few happy campers and a few people that are not that happy, you know.
Right.
It doesn't matter if it's an easy or a hard workout, I guess.
Yeah. And I will say, if I said a little bit about this on our last podcast, but if I look back at different parts of my own swimming career, there was definitely a time, maybe not 100-100s, because I think I had, you know, too much attention deficit disorder to focus for that long. But there were definitely times when I really loved doing a long set, and there was like an age where I just, you know, like I loved sort of getting into the rhythm of a really long set. And one of the things we referenced on here, which is really it is sort of a distinct set from 100-100s, is something like a T30. Like, there was a time in my young swimming career, I would say around 13-14 years old, when that was like my favorite thing to do, because I think, you know, I was just improving a lot at that age, and improving specifically, I could measure a lot of improvement on a set like that. And, you know, it made me feel like, oh, I'm in better shape and I'm moving forward. And I think those sort of tangible results, swimmers being able to see that through the workout that they have made progress in their swimming, is another huge mental part of any kind of swimming set you give them.
Yeah, I'm on this one, I'm like the same. I'm not a big fan of like a T30 or like a ton 3000 or something like that.
Yeah.
And I know like a lot of people are doing now 500s to figure out like paces and everything. But I did do a 30 once because, you know, I was trying to talk to my athletes like in a group once a week, just gather some feedback about how training was going, what they thought they liked, what they didn't like, just give some feedback my own. And at one point they told me, well, when you tell me what we should do, like if I told them, well, I wanted to go 400 pace, I wanted to go easy speed or something like that, they didn't know what it meant. Right. And they didn't know how to do it. And some of them felt like, well, we do all this work, we do all this workout, and we don't improve. I'm like, that's the farthest from the truth that it could be. So I'm like, well, you know, it's easy to show them that they get better. Let's do a T30 at the beginning of a cycle, at the beginning of the season, and then do one maybe 8, 10, or 12 weeks into it, so they see how they improve. Mm. And I really didn't want to do it, but I felt for them it was the right thing to do, so we did it. And they saw how they improved, and a lot of them actually really did learn what it meant to like keep a steady speed or swim at a different speed. They start to get a better relation with that. Mm. And so it was worth it for me, but I haven't done it since.
Yeah. I think we had on here that one of the things we wanted to talk about is some sort of evolutions of this type of set, and I'm curious as to because you know, like Hundreds is a set with a lot of years of tradition behind it. But what have you seen in terms of sort of innovation of something that maybe is similar but newer and different and sort of accomplishes some of the same stuff people want to get out of that kind of set, but in a different way?
Well, you know, looking at what we were talking about today, I was trying to figure out what other sets like this do I know about? Because I think like a lot of it also has to do like with team tradition, so like history of teams. Like one set, I saw it on the commit blog, and I did it with a team that had a lot of like mid and distance athletes. It was like the Diebel set from the Princeton University. And it's like an 8K set, so it's not something that I would have to sprint to go through. There's absolutely no sense at all for probably most people. But I thought it was interesting, and I actually went to look up like what was behind the set, and I thought the history behind it was really interesting. That's why I did it with the distance guy, because it was like about a distance swimmer, you know, someone who did something really good in swimming, so I could teach them something about the history of the sport they're into. And I mean, we all probably heard about the 31,000 by Eric Wendt, you know.
Yeah.
If you ever walk across deck and you see Coach John Urbanchek, you can ask him all about this. It's a crazy story, and I mean, apparently it is true. But I mean, I've never seen someone try to even attempt that. It sounds completely impossible to me. But then, you know, this guy probably did it, and he was probably good at it. But other than that, you know, you don't get to hear a lot. Like over here in Europe, the 100-100s are popular. The 50 times 200s are really popular. But there are not a lot of sets out like that that I know about or that get thrown out. I think if that's something that happens in your team, it's something that stays in your team and doesn't really go out. It's something like, the coaches hold back on some stuff they do, like they think it's a secret sauce. So it's kind of like they feel like it's really valuable to the team because it's maybe team building. It's they feel like they get a lot out of it, of every like new crop of athletes that get in. It's really something that they're proud of being part of their club team. It's something that's part of their tradition. I think that's why you don't hear about a lot of that stuff, because it's really set out for a team in one place.
Yeah.
And that set may not apply in a different set.
I think it's really great. Sorry for if I could just
go ahead.
If I could just interject, I think it's really great for you to bring up something like Eric Wendt, and that's actually a guy who grew up right around me. He was in my area, and I've heard all the stories, and I actually listened to him on another podcast, and he confirmed something for me that I had always thought about him, and it was so good to like just hear him say it out loud. And I think this is really important to think about when we think about, you know, listening to some of the crazy sets like some of these top swimmers are doing is I think, you know, people always told stories about Eric Wendt that, you know, like, well, here was a guy, he was not that talented, you know, he was kind of short and, you know, it wasn't that big. And but he, you know, he trained so hard that he got to a world-class level in 400 IM and the 1500 yep. and even 200 free there in 2008. And I heard him say that actually his talent was the way that he could recover from training. That, mm-hmm. you know, no matter how hard he went in a practice, on a given day, that you know he was basically ready to do another workout almost immediately. And I think you know, I think about this when I think about Michael Phelps, like people listening to a Michael Phelps you know, what like a Michael Phelps workout is, and realizing that, you know, he basically can't get his lactate levels up. He just like can't. So effectively, you know, him doing 30 100s at race pace, he can actually do that set. There are many swimmers who could not do things the way that those two do, and that's sort of that's. But it's instructive that on both sides that I think you should be careful with some of these. Like you should not give the 31,000s unless you have an Eric Vent clone in your pool. And on the other side, if you do have an Eric Vent clone in your pool, you could be holding them back by not sort of letting them loose on some really, really hard workouts. Yep.
No, I was just thinking about the 3100, you know, because I had a really good 1500 guy.
Yeah.
And I told him about that set one day, and he's like, if you ever have me do this, I'm going to quit. I don't think he was joking. I mean, he's a 1500 guy. He has done some long workouts, some tough sets. But he was serious that day. He's like, that I may be a distance guy, but that's not something that I would ever want to do. And if you have me do it, I'm going to quit at least our team, you know?
Yeah.
I noticed, like, he was a little laughing maybe when he was saying it, but I noticed he was very serious about it. So I'm like, there's not even a sense really talking to him about that, because he's not going to be open for anything that maybe come out of that discussion. You know?
Yeah.
So I just let it go.
Yeah. So let's wrap this up and then talk about where we're headed from here. What are you sort of the big points about the sets we've talked about today?
Well, I think there are a couple. I think you have to look at is it something that you can throw at your team? Because depending on you know, not everyone may be working with senior type of athletes. If you're working with younger kids, you can probably do a set like that. You just have to maybe cut it down to, I don't know, 30 or 40 or 50 100s, or do it a different way, or do just part of it, but tell them the story behind what you're doing. You're probably going to have to figure out, is it important to you that it actually fits in the overall work that you're doing in that cycle, that week or that month or wherever you are. There are a lot of things that you have to think about. And at the end of the day, I think, as I said multiple times, I think the most important thing is you don't force people to do it. Like, don't make it something that's going to make them actually hate swimming. It can be challenging and fun at the same time, but I think it should be something that in some way they do want to do, for whatever reason. And it could be different for every athlete on the team why they want to do it.
Yeah.
But it should stay fun, you know, and fun there is like a big a large kind of definition of what fun may be, because maybe at that exact time in practice, it may not be that much fun.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And I would say, you know, make those considerations. Make sure you're not teaching your kids helplessness. Make sure you're defining some of your terms out there. And I think you make a really good point about sort of the willingness. And again, I looked back on my own coaching, or sorry, my own swimming life, and, you know, saw times when I was really sort of eager and had a lot of fun sort of busting out a long set. And even I can admit, maybe at that age, that even if I would recommend a different kind of swim practice for myself at that age, sort of as the most effective type of training, you should give a consideration to what your swimmers like to do. And where are we headed next, Nico? Where are we going?
Well, you know, I think there are a lot of stuff, like, even like relating to what we're talking about today, that another thing that kind of goes in the same direction is kind of like test set.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't do them. I have probably never done them unless it was like on a like national team kind of setting, where someone told me that's what you have to do.
Right.
It's kind of going the same way, you know. There's some value to it. There may be discussions why you should do or should not do it, and that kind of should be interesting to talk about. And there's a lot of stuff that you can do there because it's a scientific approach. And there, I mean, some people say, you know, science is never wrong. People are. So I think there's an interesting discussion. I mean, we have a lot of stuff that we can talk about, you know, like we talked about going long distance today. We can talk about going the distance. You know, there's a lot of people that still like to do the long workouts, like the long, the yardage-based workouts. There's a lot of people nowadays that like to up the intensity, like what we call the sprint, like focus programs. Like, there's so much just like not even going into sets, just like about concepts and ideas that we can talk about with this. Something that I got really thinking about it, like talking with a lot of people that are into USRPT, you know, it's kind of like the kicking, because on that side of like the swimming, they don't like to do kicking sets that much. They don't think it's as important. It's kind of like a lot of people think, you know, it's like the motorboat in the back.
Right.
It's kind of what keeps you going. So it's really important for you to have a strong kick. I think there's a lot of thing that you can go on. And I know Harmy Lee, who was on your podcast recently, he does a kick that I think is crazy. You know, it's kind of like, I like it. I tried it once, had to adapt it a little bit.
Yeah.
But I think there's a lot of like a lot of good discussions that we can go about, and like even topics, you know, that's probably going to be more like for the coaches on here, because you just mentioned you were at the clinic.
Yeah.
And I think like professional development is something that's really important in our jobs, in our lives.
Yeah.
Depending on where you're coaching, and there may not be a set path for you how you're going to progress as a coach.
Yep.
And at one point, if you're the head coach of a program, you may not going to be able to get a promotion or get better, you know? So what do you do? What can you do and stuff like that? I think that's something that a lot of people are questioned about, you know? And there are a lot of ways nowadays that you actually can find out about stuff or connect about it. That's part of why we do this podcast as well, you know? And because I'm in the midst of it, I'm like, you know, hiring may be something that we should talk about, because a lot of people, if you're the head coach, you may have been hiring people. I'm just trying to get a new job right now, and I'm like sitting through all those interviews and talking to people. I'm like, I'm just asking myself, is this really the way it should happen? You know, because at the end of the day, we're talking about a business kind of stuff. If you're working, maybe if the club is your business, but it's not like I'm going to be in the office from 8 to 5 in the afternoon.
No.
So it's a lot of stuff that I think going to fill up like hours on end in the coming weeks. And we're going to have a lot of fun talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I got to be careful, because like you just brought up 5 things that, if I take time to respond to them, even briefly now, we're going to have hours on this podcast. But yeah, I think that, you know, next week or next time, most likely test sets, we might have, here's a little tease, we might have an interesting guest for that episode.
Yeah.
We'll see what we can pull off. More on that later. But, you know, I think that they're especially with test sets, you know, swimmers and coaches really like, as I said earlier, things where they can measure progress. And I hear this from coaches all the time, like, ooh, could you give me some test sets? What kind of test sets do you have? I would love to find some new test sets for measuring this, that, or the other thing, because, you know, it gives you that real sort of thing you can see that that you can sort of see, and you can wrap your hands around it and say, like, okay, here's progress. Outside of a competitive setting, and I think everybody's looking for something like that. So, but we'll talk about it next time.
Sure.
All right. Thanks. All right. Thanks for coming on again, Nico. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, Chris. Bye bye.
Bye. Thank you once again to Nico for coming on and making me feel less alone in this world as a swim nerd. Thanks to everyone for listening. For more great swimming conversations, go to chrisdcoach.com. That's C-H-R-I-S, D as in DeSantis, coach.com. You can also find me at Chris DeSantis Coaching on Facebook. Write me a message. Give me some feedback. You can also make an account at proswimworkouts.com. That's proswimworkouts.com and get access to their database of top-notch swimming practices. Remember to use the coupon code CRDeSantis, my last name, when registering for a premium subscription and get 20% off. Thanks for listening and see you next week.